The information presented in this podcast is not intended for the treatment or prevention of disease or any medical condition, nor is a substitute for medical advice. The information contained herein in this podcast reflects only the opinion of the author and presenter and is in no way considered required practice.
Welcome to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connects your brain to your brawn.
Hi, this is Eric Fiorello, and I want to welcome you to Motivation and Muscle, streaming radio 24/7. Today is the 20th of October, 2017, and I do this on every show. I don't know if Roger, he wasn't on maybe a month ago, so maybe I've done it with him. I don't know. We stand up, deep breath through the nose, out through the mouth, and repeat, I am a winner. I am a champion. I am success. It's a way to build yourself from the inside out. It's time, folks, to start running over all the negative horse shit you've been holding in for all these years, wondering why you're not getting anywhere, why you're disappointed, why things aren't working out for you. It's what you're thinking about. It's what you're attracting into your life. And I can't emphasize that enough. Because I am working on things that will blow your mind what I've been up to and what I'm accomplishing. And it's all due to change of thought. Not from the outside, from the inside. Build from the inside out. Also, too, I want to recommend one of the best books I've ever read. Whether you like sports or not, whether you like philosophy, whether you like how to think properly, and most of all, as my dad says, be a leader, not a follower. It's called What It Takes to Be Number One, Vince Lombardi on Leadership, written by his son, Vince Lombardi Jr. I would highly suggest going out and purchasing this book. Vince Lombardi, in my opinion, even though I was long past the day that he finished coaching, obviously I never got to see him. Really, other than in when I will go out and watch NFL films. My father, being a New Englander, was always a Boston guy all the way. That was the only team he liked out of New England, and I know it was like because of Vince Lombardi. Vince Lombardi looks like my father's father, Orazio Fiorello. That means William in Italian. He was a badass dude. Big blockhead with the glasses like Lombardi. He was a bad motherfucker, too, let me tell you. Great man, too. But, boy, he could give you a look and you'd freeze, believe me. And that's the way it is. But I would suggest to go out and purchase that book. Also, too, go out to FiorelloBarbellCo.com, Winner Circle, stomp the living shit out of weakness and old age. Learn how to commit. Learn how to do something that matters. And transfer it into your personal life, professional life, love life. There's 13 modules there. It'll take you anywhere you want to go. And we've been doing that stuff here at the Stone and Steel Yard for 15 years. We're going to keep adding module on top of module to it. I haven't been filming in the last probably 6 months. You know, it's mainly due to time constraints right now. And to me right now, that's not the most important thing on the docket. But you will see much more in the not-too-distant future. Also, go out to the contribution button, too. You can hit contribute on FiorelloBarbellCo.com. $25 goes right to the PayPal account. You get the beginning, the first module off the winner's circle. $50, you get the module. And you get a half hour of free time to discuss anything you want with me. $100, the beginning, and 2 free half hours. I will help you with anything. You buy the product, I'll walk you through everything if you're not sure. And so a number of people say, well, you should have more video. No, you shouldn't. Why? Because all of us will jump to the video. If you want to get good at something, you got to learn how to do it. And you will learn. There's 30 minutes minimum on each module there. I'm telling you right now, it is a game changer. And that's for the winner's circle, obviously. But all three of those buttons, when you hit that, will go right to my PayPal account. And we'll go from there. And I thank you in advance. Also, too, Go out to motivationmuscle.com/category/podcast. Go out. We got our good friend Roger LaPointe coming in momentarily. Look at all the shows. Roger was the first guest I ever had on Eminem. So you can imagine the amount of shows that are out there in the last 3 years. And we celebrated 3 years, September 27th of this year. I'm very, very proud of this show and everything else. And this will be a national radio show. You wait and see. You wait and see what's going to happen here. If things go my way and we suddenly change how our money is circulating, if it can all be pulled off because it's going to need other people in the mix, I am going to do a live call-in show Christmas Eve. No guarantees, but I said, what better way to not start something brand new on the best day in the world, Christmas, the best. And that's what we're going to do. If not, we'll be ready in the first quarter of 18. But that's the idea with dreams. Keep pushing, pushing, pushing. Don't take no for an answer. And kick the motherfuckers right in the balls, right? That's what you got to do. And that's the way it is. I'm trying to think. I think that'll do it. I'm going to give you a little information on Roger. I've got a million things on my mind today, and it's all good stuff. As I said to Roger when I sent him a text last night, get ready. This show is full of piss and vinegar, and I mean it, really, big time. All right, we're going to welcome Roger. Roger's the president of Atomic Athletic. He's an Olympic lifter and competitor, stone lifter, and strength historian. And we're going to get into discipline, and it's going to be very interesting because – you know, with me and everybody, we could go all over the place, but that's a word that is sorely not used, in my opinion, hardly at all today. And I did a singular show yesterday called Never Turn It Off, and you should go listen to the show. It's got a lot of vulgarity in it. I will warn you ahead of time. Quickly, before I bring Roger in, I go food shopping for my mother every Thursday. And I go very early. I'm up at 5 anyways or 4 in the morning, whether it's with the other job or working on my two dreams right here. All right? And I was in line at a major chain. And, you know, at that time in the morning, hardly anybody's in there. So there's one girl on the register, and then they have the self-serve. So there's a woman behind me, and I probably got 30 items. And, you know, we're moving right along. And she's got her phone in her hand, and she looks at the girl and says, is this the only line that's open? And snotty as hell. And I'm saying to myself, it's 6:15 in the morning. I got to hear this bullshit already. And she said, ma'am, you can stay here. I'm almost done with this gentleman, or you can go down to self-serve. So she's fiddling with her phone the whole time. We all know the story. The phone is the third arm now on everybody, it seems like, just about. She says again, is this going to be all, you know, is this almost done? And she goes, we're just about finished here. And I turned to her because I was like, I've had enough of this shit. Is this happening at Whole Foods I talked about where that fucking wise guy in line got smart with me and he almost got his face busted and he shut his fucking mouth too because he would have got crushed. And I mean it because I just don't have any tolerance anymore for this. I turned to her and I go just like this. Isn't life a bitch? And she just kind of looked, and she didn't say anything, because I was like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to make you eat that phone, fucker. So this is the way it is. I'm seeing all kinds of stuff, but we're going to get into a lot of stuff. Roger, I know I was long-winded. Welcome back, my friend. Always good to have you on.
Thank you, Eric. Glad to be here.
Anything I missed, lay it out, and we're going to start discipline.
Oh, no. I'm a writer, and people have read my writing for years.
Yep.
I was writing, doing PR and articles for York Barbell 20 years ago, and I do it for myself today. So, I can't overemphasize what you were talking about with the video thing.
Oh, yeah.
Because that goes hand in hand. It's a mental discipline.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Video is a passive thing.
Yep.
Okay? So you go from passive means easy. You can sit back and you can watch it and you can say, oh, look, we did that. Now, I know when a sports team goes over videos and they have classrooms, and I've been in these you know, especially like college football rooms where they've got the video and people are saying, okay, look how this guy did this, look how that guy did that, and this guy moved over here. It's video analysis.
Mm-hmm.
Most people do not look at their training videos.
No.
Like a football coach analyzing the opposing team.
Right.
But that is how you should look at it. And it's not that video is bad. It's that it's very easy to sit back and passively let the information come to you,
mm-hmm.
versus reading, which is not a passive thing. Reading involves you doing something. You have to bring your mind to the words. And I've always liked wall charts.
Yeah.
And sequence photos. And I really prefer sequence photos over video.
Yep.
And the reason is video, you know, once you have an idea, and this is a big thing. You know, I come from an Olympic lifting background.
Sure.
There are guys and women who will, you know, who would come to weightlifting meets.
Yep.
You know, when I was learning in the late 80s, early 90s, and they come to the meets, and they go, oh, my God, it's so fast. And they had no idea, because they had only looked at photos, how fast a real Olympic lifter is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And how flexible and how that speed strength combination fits together.
Mm-hmm.
But video's everywhere today.
Yeah.
You know, you can go to YouTube today. I remember when I first met you, my friends and I, and you and I might have done, it would be surprised if we didn't, we would trade training hall videotapes.
Oh, yeah.
And you'd trade tapes, and then you'd duplicate the tape, and then you would actually analyze it, and that thing was like gold.
Yeah.
And you'd say, oh, that's the way the guy does it, and then you'd go out and try it.
Yep.
Well, today, you don't even have to go to your computer. You can, you've got video on your phone.
Yeah.
It's like freaking Star Trek.
Yep.
And in casual, go, oh, yeah, yeah, that's the way the guy does it. Yeah, I know how to do it now. And you've casually watched somebody do an Olympic lift, and you know that it's fast.
Yeah.
You know, there were guys, I've spoken to people who thought that Olympic lifting was something that you did in chunks,
yeah.
and you stopped at different points.
Yep.
Because they would see these sequence photos and they would say, oh, you stop here, and then you stop here, and you stop here. And there are training methodologies that are developed around doing that. But that's not a lift.
No. And you and I both know, if there's different points during a lift, especially an Olympic lift, you ain't lifting anything off the ground, because you're going to build pathways where you're going to stop, try to restart, stop. You can't. Well, one thing I want to say too, and I'll put it right back to you. You know, discipline is a funny thing, because we know that if you look on the outside world now, because you being in media and me being in media, among other things, you know, and in the gym and all that, we realize there's definitely a major change in any type of discipline. I mean, I read a thing the other day. I don't remember if it was a football coach, or I believe it was, that disciplined a player, and they wanted to have him arrested. Okay? So This is why I think you're seeing the chaos all around. It's like when I mentioned about grocery shopping yesterday. This is no bull, folks. This is serious stuff seeing. And discipline to me is will, too. Because if you not will through discipline, you will not get anywhere. You know, we could, you look at all these major level colleges, and you know, because with the equipment you've dealt with different major colleges, pro level athletes, all that, there's not a big degree of difference in discipline, strength, or whatever. There's, yeah, there's some players at positions that are bigger and stronger, but overall, all right? But you know what it is all the time? They could have every attribute, but they don't have the will. It's like you'll hear people say, how did this guy make it to this point? Because, you know, to them, he's more average than the other athletes. Well, you know what it was? This man or woman decided that they had more of a will-based power, and that's what directed them to do the things they need. And I agree with you with video, too. Video is so goddamn overrated. And I think a lot of the video we see, especially in social media, is just say, hey, look at me. Now, not everybody's like that. There's some people that put some really great stuff up, whether it's Olympic lifting, stone lifting, anything. Deadlifting, you look at Eddie Hall, stuff like that. Yeah, great. But is the go ahead.
Indian club swing.
Right,
you know,
right.
That's something where, like Olympic lifting, it's you can do exercises with Indian club that are essentially body.
Building right.
Exercises that are, slow and, something you might have seen Arnold doing
right.
in iron, but just using that as a weight.
Yeah.
Well, that's silliness. It's not enough weight to make a difference.
Exactly.
The beauty of the Indian club is the range of motion combined with the leverage and the centrifugal force, which translates into the speed of the movement.
Mm-hmm.
So, is video good? In that case, it's absolutely essential. It's not absolutely essential. If you have really old Indian club books,
yeah,
they would show a pattern that people would go through with arrows and numbers for which to follow and that sort of thing. And that sort of thing goes back into the 1800s.
Yep.
I've got some of it in my book. It's the traditional training, legendary strength back in 1860.
Yep.
So it's there. But after you get that initial, oh, that's the concept, then going back to the book, you can really analyze it, think about it in a non-passive fashion, and then you have to do it.
Mm-hmm.
The doing part, it actually learned. I ask me about, you learn to write better.
Sure.
Well,
how about write?
Right. It's not just writing. Just writing garbage and again and again.
Right.
It's not going to teach you anything.
Nope.
Analyzing and critiquing your work and looking at work that's better than yours is what does it. And that's where the discipline comes in. And discipline is not fun.
No, it's not.
Discipline is hard work, and it's being willing to say, yeah, that was good and fine, but I don't want to be fine.
Right.
I want to be great.
Exactly.
So you refine and refine and analyze and refine again. It's just this past week I had the privilege of interviewing the main woman, and I pronounce her name
okay.
Well because it's Japanese, but she was a 13-year-old. In Hiroshima, when the bomb went off, 2.4 kilometers from when the bomb went off.
Right.
And she is the main Hiroshima survivor that speaks for the Nobel Peace Prize winning organization, ICANN.
Okay.
And I advise anybody to read the book Hiroshima Hersey. And it's lighting or super enjoyable reading. It the book gave me. I read it several years ago. It came out in 1946. It was groundbreaking, and the BBC did a piece that turned me on to it. because of the changes in journalism that were made due to that book.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, the survivors almost universally were had nothing at all
mm-hmm.
In an instant. And I'm talking about clothes,
right.
whatever. And if they did, they had to get rid of them.
Sure.
So I look at the success of somebody like this lady that I spoke with, who, by the way, confirmed to me that excuse me, that the book was not only 100% accurate,
mm-hmm.
but the minister in the book that is followed,
yeah.
and there are several different people who are followed, was actually her family's minister.
Oh, wow.
So, which blew my mind. It's still blowing my mind. but she I look at, and there was another Hiroshima survivor who spoke that day. I look at where they've gotten in their lives today.
Yeah.
From less than nothing,
mm-hmm.
and seeing the worst horror imaginable, and it makes me, you know, when I read the book, I felt this way. I feel this way even more so now.
Yep.
You know, less than a week after the interview.
Yep.
And I think about the discipline
mm-hmm.
that these people exhibit to get to the height that they have. She's all but a Nobel Peace Prize winner.
Right, right. right.
And depending on how you look at it, she is a Nobel Peace Prize winner because of her position in the organization.
Mm-hmm.
And where she was as a 13-year-old on that day.
Sure.
And it really is amazingly inspirational to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I look at the intensity of, like many Olympic athletes.
Yeah.
And I've met probably and talked with probably half a dozen Olympians, some of them medal winners. But anybody who gets to the Olympics is going to be a very intense person.
Well, let me ask you this quickly.
Yeah.
The word discipline, let's just go by whether it was that woman you spoke to, or let's just say six elite athletes you've interviewed through the years. Is there one thread that you can recognize with all these people when it comes to discipline that's very similar, or are they all, or do they all have a different characteristic? Because I think that disciplined people will do whatever they need to do. But what was it about, say, six or seven of these people you've met and interviewed along the way? What did you see that defined them differently from just the regular run-of-the-mill people?
You said it already.
Okay.
In your asking me the question,
yep.
you said in their needing to do whatever they have to do. That is the characteristic.
And, Rod, you know what it is, too? That's the rub of today. That's the rub. Most people will not do what they need to do. They'll talk about it. They'll tell everybody about it. They'll wear a goddamn T-shirt printed on it. But then you'll see them 6 months later and say, how's that going? You know.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Well, and you know, failures happen.
Well, yeah. Failure is an everyday part of life.
Yeah,
Yeah, it's when I wrote the article about this this woman.
Yeah.
She edited out part of what I wrote.
Yep.
And it, you know, it was there was a little chunk of it that, and I knew, you know, even as I wrote it, that it was not well written, that little chunk.
Right.
And she took it out.
Yep.
And that's why you have an editor. It's a second set of eyes and a second opinion and all that sort of thing, and it improves the product. That being said, the photographer, she thought the strength of the article was such that she actually put two photos on the front page.
Yep.
For that single article. And it was as they say, top of the fold article.
Yeah, I know.
And,
yep.
And I asked her, and I didn't know it when I asked her, because I had written it late at night and whatever.
Yep.
But I asked her, so did you like my article? Was it good enough? Where she's like, my God, it was really, really fantastic.
Yep.
I said, did you edit any parts out? She's like, I said, what about the section on the book? She's like, you know, that's funny that you mentioned that, because that's the only part I edited.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And I said, eh, it doesn't surprise me. I get it. And, you know, sometimes I'll throw in more than...
Well, yeah, more than you need,
right? Because I know she's going to be there to do the edit.
Yep, yep.
I wouldn't have done that had it been, had I not had an editor, kind of.
Right.
But my point is, I could look at that and I could say there are two different routes I could take to it. Thank you. You made a good article great.
Mm-hmm.
And, or I could look at it and say, oh my God, I, you know,
yeah.
I screwed up and this is bad. And no, I didn't do that. And there's a great thing out there. And, it, you know, there have been articles that I've done where she's like, eh, I held it off. I want you to change this. And, it, you know, to a lot of people, that'd be like the ultimate in, you know, oh, I'm going to give up.
Yeah, it's, you know what it is? There's too many people that just get crushed too goddamn easy. I'm looking right now, folks, talk about discipline, wants, how you want to build. This all goes into everything we're talking about today. I'm looking at the back of my office door right now. And this all goes with the discipline of knowing what you want to do, how you want to get there, and taking the steps and the action to get there. I've got a pile of $100 bills. I've got a red Ferrari sitting there. I've got me squatting, I think a quarter squat of like 950. I've got the Fiorello barbell branding. I've got the house that I want. This is a log cabin that is all windows and lit at night. I've got the church that we visited when we were in Iceland, which is just out of sight. The Husafell stone is staring me right in the face. A gorgeous girl from Iceland is on the other side, and away we go. That is called discipline of mind, discipline of body, and the discipline of knowing what you want and how you're going to get there, and you will get there. The problem is, like everything in today's world. Now, Roger hit it on the head. That lady took a piece out of his article. Now, if he was going to be upset about it, that is only going to hurt his position, because it's fine to disagree, and maybe if you brought it to her and said, hey, I really think this needs to be in there, could have changed and could have stayed in there. But see, the whole point of a disciplined human being, and Roger can tell you, because I'm not going to speak for him. Obviously, my mother and father, there was discipline in my home. You, like I said about my grandfather, the old man was the same way. He gave you that look, you better stop. You know what I mean? But the biggest discipline I ever learned was out in that gym. That was where the discipline, my discipline came. My built discipline. My homegrown discipline. Every time I step out there, I'm building more discipline in me. And I said this last week on a show. And Roger, this is going to be the killer question for you. I can't wait to hear this. And I'm not going to speak for him, but I know that he's going through some transition like myself with a lot of things, and we understand we got to do what we got to do. But when my day seems like it's unraveling, literally, and I just can't put the brakes on, I go out and I work out, and suddenly everything's okay again. Because not only have I funneled all that negative bullshit energy, and I get plenty of that too, folks. You know, I'm telling you all the things I'm doing. I'm human in that respect. I get it too. But I know how to stomp it quick now. And I know how to override it mentally now. But when I go outside, and that's what I love about outside, you don't know what the weather's going to be. You train at night under the lights at my yard. It's like the best thing you ever went on. It is just so sharp to train under the stars, man. But the biggest thing about that discipline is you go out there and you make it right for yourself, because then you go to bed and you start another day because you have extraordinary possibilities once again. Go ahead, Raj, but I want you to answer that question. When everything's unraveling, is it the weights? I mean, obviously you have a son, you're married. I don't know what you're going to answer that, but I'm telling you from my perspective, if you had to stick me in a hole with a power rack and an Olympic bar, I wouldn't bother you for a few hours. Go ahead.
It's definitely the weights. I remember being a teen and in a young teenager, maybe 13, 14 years old, when my parents were getting divorced.
Right.
And that's not a good time.
Nope.
That's serious life bullshit right there.
Oh, yeah.
And I'd go in the basement and lift that same Jackson barbell set that my great-grandfather purchased new in 1990.
Yep.
And it did not solve the family issues that were going on.
Right.
But it did allow me to get back to work and not be a woe is me, whiny person. I've actually got a magazine here. You know, I always try to throw some historical stuff.
Sure.
Okay, so I picked up a lot at auction last Friday.
Okay. Yeah.
And I scour these things and could not believe my good fortune.
Yeah.
When I was able to purchase half a dozen copies of The Bodybuilder, edited by George Jowett.
No shit. All right.
These things are in mint condition. I also got some Good Brothers magazines.
Yep.
I'm going through these things, and these are by and large things that I sell, but I do keep some things for myself too.
Right? Yeah.
So as I'm going through these things, I see my friend who is no longer with us, John Terlazzo.
Wow.
The younger brother of Tony Terlazzo, gold medal winner.
Yep.
In two different meets in the same issue, and this is the issue from September of 1936.
Wow. Okay. Yeah.
So here's the interesting thing. You look at the date. This meet that he was in was the senior Metropolitan Weightlifting Championships. Okay, so this would have been like the senior nationals,
yeah.
I think, but I'm not certain. Regardless, it was a big enough deal that John Terpak, Anthony Terlazzo, and John Grimmick both showed up. And John Terlazzo competed in the 148-pound class.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yep.
He weighed 147 and a half. Now, these numbers are important. He pressed 198.
Whoa.
And this is in pounds.
Yep.
Snatched 209. Clean and jerk 264. My guess is he would have been about 18.
Okay.
I'm not certain, but I'm guessing. Now, here's where it gets interesting. In many guys today will only compete twice a year.
Right.
He competed 2 weeks later.
Yeah.
June 2nd, 1936, in Bayonne, New Jersey. Okay.
Yep.
So you say, oh, okay, so he's doing his heavy lifting at the meets. No, he had a very specific goal.
Yep.
He lifted as a 165 pounder. He weighed 151 and a quarter.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
So 2 pounds heavier in body weight.
Yep.
You can look at the numbers. He had a reason he wanted to compete in this. 2 weeks earlier, he pressed 198.
Mm-hmm.
At this meet, he pressed 200.
That's awesome.
So 2 pounds more. He snatched 209. 2 weeks later, he snatched 210.
Unbelievable.
Now, his clean and jerk was 264. At this meet, he did 255.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Now, there could have been two different things going on there. One, he could have missed a third attempt.
Sure.
We have no idea at this point. All of the attempts are not in the magazine, just the actual completed lifts. Or maybe he went to that meet and his idea was, I want to lift more in these two lifts.
Right.
And I've got to do the third lift so that I can total.
Yep.
That is something that Fred Lau and Norbert Szymanski would do.
Yep.
With the idea that, okay, I'm going to this other meet.
Yep.
To set a new PR in one lift.
Absolutely.
And the other lifts, I've got to do them so that I can total.
Yep.
But my goal is a PR in this one.
Yep.
And that's some real discipline right there.
You're not kidding.
That's, you know, and having known John at the end of his life there, he's the guy, for people who are listening that, you know, haven't heard this before, John taught me how to do a one-hand barbell snatch.
Nice.
So he was 83 when he taught me. And, you know, he used a broomstick and showed me how to do it.
Yep.
And it was amazing. And he was a great lifter. He unfortunately was injured during World War II.
Mm-hmm.
And ended up with a drop foot.
Yep.
So
yep.
He never became the lifter that he probably could have been. But obviously he was no slouch before the war.
No, he wasn't. And he that stick-to-iveness too. You know, I mean, we know with people with dragging feet, club foot like a Doug Hepburn.
Yeah.
You know, one quick point. Go ahead.
Eventually, John did clean and jerk, I think, 310.
Right, but
with the drop.
But see, the point is now, with a lot of things, if someone came in like that, they would do everything they could to tell you not to do it. It's a different mindset today. It seems like someone's always trying to nanny you no matter what and talk you out of things you want to do, especially if they feel it's dangerous. All right? Look. You can take all the advice you want, but the bottom line is when you have discipline and will, you're going to do what you want to do. That's the bottom line. And when you look at these guys from the past, especially, you know, let's face it, the world, I think, was much different, probably much harder, much more manual labor, things of that nature. Did it build a tougher individual? Absolutely, it had to have. Because, excuse me, because maybe, you know, we know there's pockets of tough people out there, people that love to train and things of that nature. But if you look at just things in general now, everything is of a much lighter tone with everything. You know, we've gone over this a million times. Everybody needs to have a trophy, a ribbon. No one should be hollered at, talked to with any type of forcefulness, things of that nature. Look, I'll make this quick, and I'll go to you, and you can summarize everything, give all your info out. I'll tell you something that's real interesting. Everyone knows Gareth Denyer. He's on the show quite a bit. He owns a gym in Texas, and he is one awesome trainer. He's graduated over 100 Division I football players out of his gym. And the last time he was on with me, he said he can't believe, well, number one, we know what's going on with the National Football League now, basically because they've decided to go political, as of the other day. Right now they're not even filling half their stadiums. They're starting to lose, revenue from sponsors, et cetera, right? But what Gareth was telling me was this: concussions are not, you always have to take care of, you know, you don't want to see anybody have any type of brain damage. But it's gotten to the point with everything, and I think there's other folds of organizations out there, because we, Dr. Wong and I did a show where there was a couple organizations that came out that they want to end all male sports. Now, I don't know what the motives are, but yeah, but it's serious, okay? So Gareth told me, obviously, you're not seeing as many males go out for football because of the concussion stuff, but he said a lot of the ones he's getting now, just like you said, Raj, no discipline. They don't know how to work hard. The littlest thing that comes up, they're ready to hang it up. And he said it's very discouraging now, because it's not like one or two. You're getting an influx of players now, where it could be 10 guys. And you and I both know, and I'm going to give it right to you, your environment rubs off on people. I don't care who you are. You could be you, it could be me. If I walk in every day and we sit next to each other, I'm saying, Jesus, you know, life sucks. I can't get anywhere. Eventually, you're going to do one or two things. You're going to tell me to straighten the fuck out, or you're going to probably join in with me. And that's what's going on in all these major places right now. Gym settings, and that's one of the reasons why I am so happy I am not in a commercial gym. I would never go in one, not unless it was some hardcore stone gym out in Scotland or Iceland, you know, like a Magnus's place. Otherwise, I never want to step foot into anything. I'd come to your place and train in your work environment where you got your gym, but that's it, all right? And what I'm saying is, environmentally, you can't go on like this and think you're going to put out leaders, makers of men. But go ahead and take it. Summarize everything. Give out your info, the website. I'll give my stuff out, and we'll get ready for next month, my friend.
Oh, yeah. I see a lot of that. I've interviewed and spoken with quite a few personal trainers over the years.
Sure.
And the I would say that the number one reason people get personal trainers,
yeah,
is because they need somebody to be there and to cheer them on,
yep,
in the gym. And the number two reason is because they don't want to go to a commercial gym,
yep,
because they're embarrassed.
Yep.
Well, honestly, if I had to pay somebody to cheer me on,
yeah,
versus coach, which is analyzing and to improve,
mm-hmm,
I'd be embarrassed too. That's taking it from a different perspective than what these people are going with. They're, oh, you know, I don't want people watching me,
right,
and
right.
You know, I'm out of shape, and you know what? If I'm out of shape and I'm going to the gym, or you know, let's say if somebody's out of shape and they're going to the gym,
yep.
Kudos to them. That's the guy who's showing discipline.
Yeah.
He's that person has done something in their life where they've said, you know what? I'm out of shape and I'm doing something about it.
Exactly.
That's great.
Yep.
That is absolutely fantastic. If they're hiring a personal trainer as a coach so that they can learn how to do the stuff right, fantastic. If you need the cheerleading squad and you're getting there, well, okay. But maybe you need to dig a little deeper.
Yep.
There are lots of reasons that people hire personal trainers, and I'm not disparaging the job.
Yep.
I mean,
yeah.
The job is, there are a lot of great things that they do. The last one I spoke with, you know, he's genuinely out there to help people, and he's doing a good job and making people healthier.
Yeah.
That's great. But, you know, if you are experiencing some kind of a problem, just go lift those weights. And odds are, even if you're not doing it entirely right and you're not doing it, to the best of your ability because you're upset or whatever, it's not the biggest weight you've ever lifted, so what? Because, you know, those endorphins and the serotonin and the dopamine that your body naturally releases from the activity, because you're doing something, is going to make everything better. And that, I think, the act of doing something will lead to more doing of something.
Absolutely.
And it really does take that first step. And not every workout is going to be a world record.
Right.
Look at John Terlazzo here.
Yep.
I'm guessing, having known him, we know why his clean and jerk was not great. He was not focused on his clean and jerk, either intentionally or unintentionally.
Yep.
But he was focused on those other two lifts, and he improved in them.
Yes, he did.
That's pretty cool.
Yep.
That's really pretty cool. And a guy like John, I am certain, did not go home and cry over his drop of 10 pounds in a clean and jerk.
Right.
I'm pretty darn sure that he went home and he said, yeah.
Yeah.
I improved both of those other lifts.
Right. Different goals, different day. That's what it's about. That's it. Period.
Yep.
What else you got?
My information, it's Roger LaPointe, and the company is Atomic Athletic. And, I've got a lot of things going on with the website.
Yep.
If you look at it at the top, it'll say under construction right now.
Yep.
And we're doing some cool things. Mail in for the Garage Gym Journal.
Mm-hmm.
It's getting better all the time.
Cool.
So that's the printed publication. It is not available online.
Yep.
I am not, just republishing articles that I've previously published online in a print version. This is its own unique thing with photos that go with the articles and professional layout, all that kind of good stuff. So
okay.
Atomic Athletics.
Yeah. This is Motivation Muscle Streaming Radio 24/7. Go out to FiorellaBarbellCo.com. Winner Circle, 13 modules, which will change the way you look and conduct yourself for the rest of your life. You want to be strong? You got it. You want to be strong mentally? You got it. You want to be strong spiritually? And I'm not going to get into all that because every day there's another friggin' thing about this, that, and the other thing. What we believe here is what we believe, and we don't waver either way. We don't go out of our way to hurt anybody, but you know what? Our opinions matter, and this show will be over a million strong of listenership because there is a void out there where there's people looking everywhere for some leadership. We love it. We take it right on the shoulders, and we'll keep going. That's what we do here. I believe in that. I believe in everybody that's on here. And all I can say is we're going to be a force that you would not believe out there. We are pretty well known now. We haven't done anything yet. I'm telling you, the stuff that's sitting here will blow your mind once it's finally in motion totally. So stay tuned and stay with us for the next 30 years. Also, too, go out, contributions, very important to the business. Everyone knows that we're going through some pretty rugged times right now, but that's what life's about. Taking the rugged times, getting knocked on your ass, and knocking it back 10 yards further. That's how you get ahead, folks, because nothing that is worthwhile is ever going to be super easy. All these people you hear and you listen to and you look up to that are all very enriched in their life, there isn't one that's not going to tell you they didn't basically hit rock bottom multiple times. Some even went bankrupt and came back. If you want to do the 9-to-5, good for you. But don't get pissed off when you don't like your boss or you're not making enough money or this, that, and the other thing. Believe in yourself. Believe in your abilities and take the chance. I don't say give it a shot because fuck that. Take the chance on yourself. It's very, very important. Also, too, if there's a, well, go out to motivationmuscle.com/category/podcast. Go out and look at all the shows Roger and I have done. Also, too, to get my newsletter, you go out on the homepage of M&M, sign up. It goes right to my MailChimp account. You'll get them whenever I put out some type of letter. All right? If you do it any other place, it will not come to me and you will get nothing. So it's pretty easy to do. Straightforward, you're all set, and you'll get whatever I produce whenever I do it. Also, too, if there's a show you'd like Roger and I to do, FiorelloBarbell@NICAP.R.com. You know, obviously, go out to iTunes, Stitcher, give us a 5-star review. That's what we've gotten. We appreciate that. AHA is where you can get M&M 24/7 in your car, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. Also, if someone seeks you out in the gym or the concrete jungle, never be afraid to give them 5 words of inspiration. Roger just said about inspiring others. 5 words can change your life, good or bad. And if you think I'm kidding you, try it. Say it to yourself and see how you feel, good or bad. Be your own guinea pig. Learn. Learn, learn, learn. Remember, you don't need video right away. Learn your subject. Next, as my mom said when we were kids, never be afraid to say hello to someone or give them a smile. That might be all they get that day. If you're going to lift it, bend it, twist it, break it, squat it, pull it, press it. If you're going to lift stones, turn them into dust. As a great Hoos of Steel stone crusher says in Blood Red, domination, we are domination. We clear cut our own path. We don't follow anyone. Dominate, obliterate, and dent everything in your path. No one will ever clip our balls. And as Russell Fur says, when I listen to your show, I swear there's testosterone dripping out of my speakers. We're probably one of the few that really do that aren't phony, too, by the way. We are as lethal as a heart attack, believe me. Also, too, Frank Klein, my greatest college professor in business, repetition, repetition, repetition. My dad. Be a leader, not a follower. Be a leader, not a follower. John Ridge, my greatest chiropractor ever, he would walk every patient in the door and say, keep smiling. I dare you to say that to yourself on your best or worst day and not smile. I am right now. I told everybody a few weeks ago what happened to me. And this is telling you there are people out there still looking for you, looking out for you. Now, John's been gone for over a year now. And there's a guy at that major supermarket that I was talking about prior to this. And he's a real good guy. He's in the produce. And he always bullshits with me. He's an older guy. So that was a real rough week. And I'm coming down an aisle, and he's coming over towards the meat department to visit somebody. And he always says to me, "How you doing, young man?" And I was like, "Good." And he said to me like this, "Keep smiling." The only one that has ever said that to me in my life was John Ridge. It stopped me dead in my tracks. And I was like, holy shit. John is saying something to me, obviously. And I know John's spirit is in me, and I thank John for that, because it turned the whole week around, believe me. So there are people out there that give a damn about you, whether they're here in a physical sense or not. Also, too, be a steward of strength. Don't stand on the side of the road and watch the world go by. Tell 100 or more of your friends we're coming, because we're not going to kick your fucking door, and we're going to blow the roof right off your house. It's the only way to live. Be part of the family. Stay with us for the next 30 years. I promise you, you're going to be in the greatest revolution you've ever marched in. We are going to the top. I promise you that. Also, too, Les Brown, you all have greatness. We take it two steps further. We believe in you, and we got your back. Men, get rid of the 9-month belly and the spare tire. Support your women and girlfriends. Women, support your men, no matter what. It's very important not to let these vampires do anything to put a wedge between you. We need you. We want you to be part of the family, and we want your sons and daughters to follow suit. It's very, very important. I'm going to read an excerpt quickly out of Lombardi's book, and here it is. It's called Know Your Spark. In your quest for self-knowledge, focus on how you can authentically lead people. Jesus, isn't that what we just talked about? I just opened that up randomly. Authenticity is what it is all about. As my pop said, be a leader, not a follower. Raj, it's always an honor and a pleasure to have you on, and I look forward to the next show, my friend.
Absolutely. Hey, and keep smiling.
You got it, man. John Ridge would have...
Great advice.
John Ridge, you would have... I said... I would have loved to have John and my dad and Frank Klein still with us in a physical sense, because you and everybody, I'm telling you, man, you talk about men. And, you know, they weren't all touchy-feely, I know, but boy, oh boy, Raj, there's nothing that means more to me today than knowing where you stand. And if you don't have loyalty with me, you might as well go to fucking hell as far as I'm concerned, because I'm looking for people of solid character, loyalty, and want to spread what we talk about, the solutions of strength, man. And strength goes in so many variations. So it's great to have you on, and, you know, we'll do another killer show. This show will either be up tonight or first thing in the morning. And we'll get that out. And like I said, we'll have Raj on again next month. Also, too, before we sign off, you're all winners and you're all champions, and you have to think about success. And I'm telling you right now, you can all do it. Stick with us. We're going to keep giving you more and more things that we're up to, what we're doing, and I am going to have a plethora of information down the road. So get ready. So for Roger LaPointe, this is Eric Fiorello. Thanks for listening. As I said, the show will either be up tonight or tomorrow, and we'll kick ass and take names later. Have a great weekend, everybody. And as I always said, go out and do something magnificent. And you know why? The world is just begging for you. We need you. We need you all. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks so much for listening to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connected your brain to your brawn. We'll see you next time.